You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi everybody, producer Al here. Time for another TSFP Presents re-release here on the Monday podcast feed, and it's the final episode of our History of Transfers series. This time, we took a look at the biggest flops in La Liga history. Now, is it unfair to categorise people with complex feelings and stories and so many factors as flops? Yes, it is. Did we do it anyway? Yes, we did. Hope you enjoyed the episode. For more of this kind of thing, you can join us at patreon.com/TSFP.
Hello patrons, welcome to the latest edition of TSFP Presents A History of Transfers. Today we're out and about recording on a table in a cafe in sunny Madrid.
It's lovely.
It is very nice.
Sunny.
We're going to be talking about flops, of which there is much to discuss.
We've been looking forward, I feel like we've been trailing ahead to this one, basically the entire series. And it is funny, when we were looking at potential transfer bargains for the last episode, there are a few bargains out there.
Oh yeah.
But when you look at La Liga flops,
there are
so many. I mean, we're going to leave a lot out. Let's just put that out there up front, because there are so many to include.
Obviously, the term flop is quite a fluid concept.
Relative.
One man's flop could be another man's
failure.
Well, do you know what? The other interesting thing I was thinking, looking at some of these players that we're going to talk about, is that we say that they're flops, but a lot of these aren't bad players.
At all.
In fact, a lot of them are really quite good players who were good before.
Yeah, they should
and
have
maybe
been
they were
signing.
Good after.
Yeah, a lot
but
of them
it just
should
happened
have been
to be,
signing,
you know, wrong place, wrong time, wrong club.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that is perhaps the two different ways of approaching this. A flop can be a player who was bought, who wasn't very good, who with very little expectation, and he just turned out to be crap, like, you know, Chirgidzki or whatever. But you know, someone who was good and came with expectations, and because those expectations weren't met, that is what added to his floppiness.
And obviously, in some of these cases, these players flopped through no fault of their own.
Yes.
Yeah. They weren't self-floppers.
Maybe no one's fault. You know, sometimes it's just, it
it's
happens.
Life, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not me, it's not you, it's just, it hasn't worked out.
Yes. Well, it certainly didn't work out for these players that we're going to mention. We're going to sort of break it down, if possible, and try and structure it by team.
And we're focusing on the bigger clubs as well, because let's be honest, they've always had more money to spend, and therefore the flop quotient has maybe been higher at the big clubs.
Yeah.
So we're starting with Barca, and I mentioned him, Chirgidzki. I've never been able to pronounce his name.
It's a name Chirgidzki. That has not enough vowels in it.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, is there like one vowel in it?
There's one vowel.
And how many consonants? A lot of consonants.
In too fairness, many. The Y acts as a vowel, doesn't it?
The Y is also was the big question.
Well, yes.
So,
well, why? Because actually, here's why. Let's start with why, shall we? Because he was, in theory, the player that Pep Guardiola needed, the kind of defender that he needed. Reasonably strong with the ball. He looked very, very good playing in Champions League. In Ukraine, he steps out with the ball well, he could pass the ball well, he was strong, and it didn't work. I mean, in the end, there's a very interesting bit in Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, where basically, effectively, it's a game against Racing Santander, I think, when he plays the wrong pass. It's not necessarily a terrible pass. Oh no, Osasuna. It's not necessarily a terrible pass, but it's the wrong pass. And Guardiola has drilled into him. This is the pass. This is your outlet ball. This is the ball you play. And he didn't do it. Partly because he believed he could do something else. Partly because he saw an option on. And Guardiola basically decided, okay, that's it. But it was that passing ability, rather than necessarily the defending, that made Guardiola so keen on him.
We should say he was suggested, by the way, by patron Paul, who described his appearance in Take the Ball, Pass the Ball as thoughtful and gentlemanly.
Incredibly. Thoughtful is a great word, and in introspective as well. He comes across as being genuinely quite hurt by what happened, but with a with a maturity to deal with it and a maturity to accept his own culpability.
Well, you wouldn't
he doesn't blame people.
I mean, he
a lot
came
of players
across,
blame people.
He ended up being like a punchline, effectively.
Yeah,
which
well,
is incredibly unfair.
His name is a byword for Barcelona's ineptitude in terms of signing centre-backs, which perhaps has been sort of alleviated in the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, and in a way, it's also maybe being underplayed in that he wasn't always awful, Chigunski. It's just that it's partly, again, and that's going to be the case in all of these, it's partly expectation against reality.
Yes.
Not just reality itself.
But he cost 25 million back in 2009.
Which for
25 million was
back
a lot of money.
That time.
I mean, these days, you know, people spunk 25 million on anyone. But
They do. He's been doing sterling work at AEK Athens, by the way, won the Greek title.
Huge in Greece.
Huge.
See, so that proves he was a good player, because if he went to the greatest league in Europe,
yes,
and has been the best player,
yes,
or done sterling work anyway.
Yes, staying with Barcelona. I mean, there are lots of names that have been banded around here: Overmars, Petit, Alex Song.
The greatest ever moment.
Well, this is mentioned by patron Alex. Actually, I'm not sure if it is Alex
is
Song.
Is he talking about what I think he is?
He says
the Puyol with the trophy.
When Puyol was collecting the La Liga trophy in 2013. And Song thinks he's handing it to him.
And Song steps out of line. There's the line of Barcelona players, and he steps forward as if to take the trophy. And Puyol basically pretty much shoulder charges him out of the way. I mean, it's a gentle shoulder charge, but this is Puyol.
I've got to say, I find that clip,
I mean, it's difficult
so
to watch.
I can't watch it.
Yeah,
it's so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Of course, it was actually for Abidal. Did you say that just then?
Yeah.
It was
I didn't say that Abidal, but yes, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't watch it. It's too too painful. Like, imagine that happening to you.
What, I mean, genuinely, what was Song thinking? Did he really think that Puyol was going to get the trophy and then bring it over and hand it to him?
Well, yes, clearly. That's why he stood out.
We have already discussed this, though. There is a brilliant statistic that proves that actually Alex Song is not a flop. He's actually the greatest player in Spanish football history, the greatest signing in Spanish football history.
He went unbeaten longer than any other player from
his
debut.
From his debut to his first defeat, 31 games, more than anyone else in Spanish football history. Therefore, he is the best signing of all time. He's not a flop. He's in the wrong podcast. Sorry, Alex.
And by the way, again, Alex Song, I mean, not a great player, but also not a terrible player. There was one season in which he was Arsenal's best player, although that probably
that
says more about Arsenal's season that he is
I'll let you say
than
that
it does about Alex
enough.
Song. But Kitra, you mentioned...
By the way, Arsenal and Barcelona have a bit
I mean,
of a thing going
you
on
mentioned
there,
Petit, Overmars, Alex Leb, I mentioned Vermaelen.
Kleblery.
We could do a whole podcast on failed signings for Barcelona from Arsenal. They've been very good to Arsenal over the years.
I remember Arsene Wenger once laughing at Real Madrid and saying it was at the period when Schneider had gone and been brilliant and Robin had gone and been brilliant, and Arsene Wenger laughing at Real Madrid and saying something along the lines of, if you want a great player at knockdown price, just hang around Madrid's back door and they chuck the players out. Obviously he was laughing at Barcelona quite a lot more though, I think.
Yeah.
I
mean, those signings that we mentioned were very profitable indeed.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I think it's a bit harsh perhaps to say that they were all complete flops.
Because Overmars was actually... Overmars and Petit went to Barcelona at a very strange time. This is the post-Figo thing, the collapse institution, it's terrible. And Overmars had a period where he actually played really well. And curiously, at Barcelona, Radiantic did something that no manager has ever done with Marc Overmars. Put him on the wing on his right foot. Well, his correct foot rather than his right foot. And actually having, as a player who goes outside, instead of Overmars doing what Overmars always used to do, which was run down the wing in a straight line.
Yeah.
A bit like, he's a guy who played, Andros Townsend, who basically has one move, which is run in a straight line, cut across in a straight line, and then shoot. And that's what Overmars used to do. But then Barca put him on the other wing. And for a little while, it was really quite good.
You know who I think...
Petit was weird. Did you hear about Petit? Petit tells all sorts of strange stories about Barcelona. He's very bitter about his time at Barcelona. He tells stories about having sex in the dressing room on the
pitch. Oh, yeah,
he
did mention that.
He describes Barcelona as racist because of the Catalan question. And I spoke to someone in Barcelona about this, and his response was this is a lovely Spanish phrase, what's he going to say? After all, he's as odd as what's the phrase in Spanish? As odd as a green dog.
Okay.
Tan raro como un perro verde.
I mean, he's not particularly fondly remembered in Barcelona, and so a flop off the pitch as well as potentially on it
and
well.
And his hair was flopping.
I'm going to say the biggest flop of all these that we've got in this list here, we could mention Giovanni, Rochenbach, Riquelme, even Zlatan, but we've got to move on because we've got loads to get through. I think the biggest one...
Zlatan, a flop? Sort of. Not really.
I think the biggest one is Arda Turan.
Yes.
Given the expectations, given how good he was...
That's a good shout. I'd not even thought of him.
Credit to producer Al, produced this list, but Turan.
Yeah. Well, the best thing about Arda Turan was he left Atletico Madrid and publicly said, that's great, I won't have to run around so much. And given that his name is Arda Turan, I mean, it was a perfect... even we wouldn't make up that joke.
How much was he affected? I mean, I think you tried to, but how much was he affected by not playing for 6 months, you know?
That probably made a difference.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a really, really big...
The whole thing sort of just never, ever, ever worked. I'm struggling to think of anything he did in a Barcelona shirt.
When did he throw his
I think he was at Atleti at that
point.
Was
that at Atleti?
That was very, very funny.
Yes.
And again, you know, we're moving on, but some great examples there of what we were saying. Someone like Riquelme, one of the great number 10s, but at Barcelona... was very much a flop
and
because
out,
he cost quite a lot of money and it just didn't work.
Yeah, was
and again, wrong player, wrong time, wrong coach.
Midfield and stuff. It didn't really work. I mean, Ardis Rani is extraordinary and it sort of disappeared as if nothing happened. And those people who really... There are a lot of people who are very annoyed about this as well because they'd like to point out something, which is that Arda Turan was signed by Luis Enrique as the man who was going to take Andres Iniesta's place. I mean, this guy shouldn't be allowed to take Andres Iniesta's dog out for a
it
walk.
It turns out
his place in the Barcelona
that taking
team.
Iniesta's place is quite tricky because we could mention Coutinho as well as potentially
yes.
one of the most expensive
Given how
flops
much he's
of
cost.
All.
Yeah.
He wasn't that expensive, but I've got one word to say to
he
you.
He was, 35 million, wasn't he, Arda Turan? Oh, no. You're talking about the next one, sorry.
Yes.
Got him.
Douglas.
Douglas.
I mean, talk about punchlines.
Yeah.
Douglas became a punchline.
Who can't do kick-ups.
Yes.
Who's a professional footballer. Didn't seem to be able to do kick-ups at his...
I remember Michael Owen once telling me that he can't do kick-ups either.
No way.
Yeah, he said, I can't do kick-ups. But he can score goals.
Yeah. See, well, I'm really good at kick-ups.
I'm sure you
but
are normally.
But
if you were doing kick-ups in front of however many thousand people on the pitch at Camp Nou, it might not be quite so straightforward.
I mean, there weren't that many people.
Not for Douglas's presentation.
Not for Douglas's presentation, but yeah. He wasn't a good signing.
Injured his arse on the team bus.
Moving on, and we have loads of Real Madrid flops.
Yeah, before Barcelona fans say, you've really torn into us. Let's tear into Madrid, shall we?
I mean, we've got here the mid-2000s. There is a sea of flops here.
I know the first name on this list, and I'm going to fight
Hello.
To have him not included
Let's
in
have a
podcast.
Fight. Let's have a ruck. Come on.
His name is Jonathan Woodgate.
Oh, no, that's not the first one on the
list. All right, which one then?
Nicolas Anelka.
Oh, Nicolas Anelka.
Nicolas Anelka is not a flop.
Okay.
He's angry. He wasn't happy. He wanted to go. No one liked him. But he scored the two goals that put them into the Champions League final. As a player, yes, he was a flop.
I mean,
but what I mean is,
yeah.
he was a flop for reasons other than that. But he was unpopular from the very start.
I mean, how much did he cost? He cost 20 million, I think, at the time. In fact, he single-handedly paid for Arsenal's training ground.
Arsenal really have had a
London Colney was entirely paid for
they
by the transfer fee for
Nicolas
Anelka
training ground.
But he cost a lot of money. I mean,
a beautiful madness. Lorenzo Sanz called it when they signed him. 29 million euros, I think, or something like that at the time.
And again, not a bad signing because he was absolutely brilliant. But that season, you say he scored two really important goals. I mean, he scored a total of about five goals season.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I still think it's forgotten that the contribution to them winning the European Cup that year was gigantic against Bayern Munich in the semi-final.
Okay, but that doesn't stop him being a flop. He had an important moment, and that was it.
Okay, yeah.
When he was brought in to
How much money did they get back? That's a question.
He went to PSG after Madrid, didn't he? I think that was quite a substantial fee as well.
But PSG weren't PSG. They weren't this PSG.
No.
I mentioned him, Jonathan Woodgate. Are you going to try and defend him?
Yeah.
Okay, but why?
Jonathan Woodgate had a lot of injuries, as everyone knows. His debut is the greatest footballing moment in history, possibly. 561 days he waited for his debut.
561 days.
So he signed. Wait, it's 561 days for his debut.
I mean, that's nearly 2 years.
On his
year and a half.
On his Good debut, maths. He scores an own goal and gets sent off. The post-match mix zone with him was absolutely brilliant because he comes out and he's like, I'm going to use lots of swear words now, so apologies for this. This might get an X-rated thingamajig. Fuck me. Fucking hell. Fuck's sake. Fuck, I'm fucking believable. When I got the first yellow card, I was, fuck's sake, just don't fucking get another one. Fucking hell. And we're like standing in front of him, Jonathan, could you say all that again without the F word so that we can publish this? And he's like, oh yeah, sorry about that, lads. Yeah. He was great company, actually, Jonathan Woodgate. And really
oh, well, that's all right then, yeah.
He spoke really, really good Spanish, partly because he was injured. He used to do this thing, Woodgate, where he would get in his car and drive and get lost and just go and see things in Spain. And then when he's decided, okay, that's enough, he put the sat-nav on and sat-nav himself home.
That's
great.
He
would literally just drive and get lost, go to the airport, pick up the papers, you know, that sort of thing. He spoke better Spanish than the others, partly because he's on the treatment table, because he's talking to physios and so on. I'm also going to defend him because he arrives injured.
Right.
And he arrives injured from Newcastle, and Newcastle know that he's a little bit injured, and Madrid know he's injured, but they force it through. At his presentation, Florentino Pérez, the Real Madrid president, says he'll be playing in, I can't remember the exact figure, I think he said in 15 days, the normal word for fortnight in Spain. for some reason they think a fortnight is 15 days, not 14. It's very curious. Anyway, so he's going to be playing. He wasn't. It goes on to about 3-4 weeks he's still not playing. He's training. They're sort of getting there, but he's not quite ready. Florentino is under pressure because, of course, he's presented him as his big star. And he says, right, I've got to get him playing. He phones the doctor, says he's got to, I want him playing now. Doctors say, look, he's not ready. They arrange a special training ground game against the B team. David Barral, he's up against. David Barral, of all people. And Florentino basically tells the doctors he's playing. And one of the doctors says, he can't, he's not ready, he shouldn't play. He's playing. Chasing David Barral, boom, it goes. Tears the the tendon that goes through the middle of his thigh, snaps. He goes to Finland for treatment and really goes through the mill, Jonathan. He had a really, really terrible time of it. I don't think that's entirely his fault. And you know what? When he did get a little run in the side, he was brilliant. The problem was the run was too short. He was genuinely really, really good. Honestly, at that stage, because, I mean, we know this about Sergio Ramos now. Ramos was young and was even more chaotic, perhaps, than he is now. Woodgate was the better defender of the two, and they were a really good partnership.
Okay, so in terms of flop, obviously he barely played, and it was not what they were expecting, but when he did manage to get out...
I thought he was very good indeed, yeah.
All right, okay. Yeah. What about Julien Faubert?
I mean, that's the question in so many ways.
The amazing thing about this is, I mean, this isn't even a flop. If we're going to do this, reality against expectation.
It's just
there
weird.
Was no expectation,
there were no expectations,
and
he
didn't live
nothing.
Up to them. I mean, yeah. He was the weirdest signing ever. This was a guy, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't getting in the West Ham team.
Mm. Mm. I mean, I would love to know, who was the agent who put that deal together? Because he earned his commission.
A genius, yes.
That day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible.
He's laughing.
Yes. I mean,
Julien Faubert.
That was the name, I think, that came up perhaps more than any other from people when we mentioned this episode.
It certainly was. We had that from a few patrons. Another one on a similar
totally
theme.
Baffling, yeah.
Nikolai says, as a Dane living in Spain.
Oh, Tommy, I love Tommy.
I must bring up the Gravesen transfer. Such an unlikely romance. Enlighten us. What did Madrid think when they signed him?
Well, according to Thomas Gravesen, they thought he was Lee Carsley, the other bald guy at Everton. I mean, in fairness, Thomas Gravesen is a really good player.
Mm.
And Madrid signed him. I think sometimes appearance plays more of a part than it should in analyses of players. Madrid signed him thinking he could be this tough, aggressive, ogre-like defensive midfielder.
Because that's what he looked like. But
that
he wasn't
actually his role.
He wasn't a defensive midfielder at all. He was an attacking midfielder.
Exactly. Yeah. And he used, as I say, he used to joke that I think they got the wrong one. I think they wanted Lee Carsley.
Mm.
And he was not a terrible player, but he was kind of, if you like, symbolic of an era when him, Pablo Garcia, lots of players who really and truly probably shouldn't have been at Real Madrid were. And as I say, I think he became a running joke more than he deserved.
Mm.
And I'm not just saying that because I've got a pair of Thomas Gravesen shorts at home.
I forgot about those shorts. You have, don't you?
Magnificent.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I mean, there's a few of these names that have become running jokes, another one being Royston Drenthe.
Yeah.
I mean, there.
Fairness to Royston Drenthe, he had been the outstanding player at the European Under-21 Championships. He was young, he was exciting, and, you know...
You could do a whole podcast about him alone. Because there are so many stories from Sid's... I remember reading from Sid's columns back in the day about all kinds of antics.
Royston Drenthe, yeah. That lovely interview.
Sat-nav problem.
That lovely interview. Yeah, the sat-nav problem is absolutely brilliant. So he's going down the road. He crashes into a police car. And he's asked, why did you crash into a police car? He said, because the sat-nav turned left. Said to turn left. So he did.
Yes.
Or right. I can't remember which way up the road he was going. But anyway, he literally just turned into a police car.
Still a Madrid resident? Or he at least has a house here?
He has a bar in Villa Viciosa de Aldón, which I went to the other day. But unfortunately, it was shut. So I was looking for him.
Mm. Yeah?
Looking for Royston.
Looking for Royston, yeah.
That is perhaps memoirs title.
I mean, I thought it was going to be Gamba Fresh. My memoirs were going to be called.
He also had an attempted hip hop career as well. I mean, there's so much there.
He gave me a copy of his album.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not a hip hop fan, as you know.
Yeah.
But it's quite entertaining, you know. I mean, Dutch is obviously a strange language.
Maybe we'll come back to him. Maybe we'll do a whole series on sort of unlikely La Liga stories, and he's a candidate for an entire episode because there's more there that we can do justice
to. He tended to slip over a lot. He got crucified for missing that really good chance 1-1 in the Clasico, and I think that was sort of the end.
So and Mourinho unfair, kind of screwed him over as well and didn't treat him particularly well.
Mm. Let's move on to Atletico Madrid, who have not...
Oh, you didn't put Cassano in there. Sorry, just while we're talking about that era of Real Madrid. I mean, we know the Cassano story, but one thing
I used to...
He was brilliant.
He
scored more than anyone else at Real Madrid, apart from Royston Drenthe, who in an interview once was asked, how many times did you have sex last year? And he said, what, do you mean with my wife? What an answer! Anyway, so one very quick thing on Cassano. We know, everyone knows the sex and pastry story.
It was
Ramon Calderon having a go at Florentino Perez for signing him. And saying something, but focusing this on the presentation, you know, saying something like, you know, you were the man standing there giving him his shirt, presenting this guy who was just a total joke. Actually, if you find the photograph from his presentation, it's Ramon Calderon handing him the shirt. Which is brilliant.
Cassano, yeah, okay, yeah. We can put him in there. Moving on and talking about Atletico Madrid, who have not had a lot of success when it comes to transfers recently.
They've had ups and downs, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned about their problems about trying to sign strikers after being brilliant in terms of having central forwards for a number of years. Subsequently, they've had a few nightmares in terms of signing strikers, not least Jackson Martinez.
Yeah. I think I've said this before, but I still love that photograph of him leaving.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is they did manage to get quite a lot of money for him.
Well, they made a profit on him.
They made quite a big profit,
I think. That's the most incredible thing.
That was actually a brilliant piece of business from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring him in.
Just not on the pitch.
Yeah.
Not a brilliant piece of business was Alessio Cerci.
Alessio Cerci. I'm so glad he's in this list.
Because he is an extraordinary flop. I mean, he barely played.
And he published a photograph.
He got in trouble for... On Instagram media, when on shopping or something.
Having a stroll around Madrid
with
his family. So he's not doing anything terrible, except that Atletico were playing at the time.
Yes. I mean, he was literally, I think he was in Gran Vía shopping for clothes.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Alessio. That's not a good idea. But yeah, we've got other mentions here. Nico Gaitán, he was brought in. He didn't do well, particularly. Luciano Vietto.
Well, basically, pick a striker from the last 4 years.
Strikers, all kind of wingers, attacking, any kind of attacking player, they come and go.
What happened to Kraniewicz? Because he was going to be this great Fernando Redondo-y kind of ball-playing, but also tough central midfielder who would... He's just totally disappeared. I genuinely don't know where he is. Does anyone know that? I mean, I'm sure it's not hard to look up, but I genuinely don't know where he went.
Going back a bit further, Matthias Kesman.
Yeah, you know what? I translated for Kesman in his presentation at Atletico Madrid, so maybe it was my fault.
Kesman, a player who flopped in the Premier League, who flopped in La Liga.
Kesman's in the offices before his presentation, and we're in there, and obviously I'm doing the translation because although he's not English, he spoke English, and they bring in the club's chaplain. And I think this is where it starts to go wrong. Very, very first day, club's chaplain shakes his hands. Hello, how are you doing? Hello, very nice to meet you. Something about the Catholic faith, very important. He says, I'm Orthodox.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're getting off on the wrong religious foot.
Kraniewicz, who is at Zenit St. Petersburg.
Is he?
Yes.
There we go.
Probably making a lot of money.
And living in a lovely city.
Hmm. Valencia have had a few flops, have they?
Yeah. They've had a few.
What about Helder Postiga?
God, I'd forgotten that he was there.
Well, there you go. It wasn't a memorable
stint. Spurs legend, Helder Postiga.
He comes from Portugal. He hates the Arsenal. Postiga. That was the best thing he did.
I mean, he was probably indifferent to the Arsenal, really.
Yeah, to be honest, he probably couldn't give a flying.
I feel like you're attributing emotions to Helder Postiga there that aren't necessarily warranted.
Moving on, Sevilla, they signed Bebeto.
And they signed him at a time when he'd just been scoring goals left, right and centre for Depor.
Genuinely, I'd completely forgotten that they had... How many games was he there for? He wasn't there for more than...
A handful.
Yeah, I mean, he can't have been there for more than a few months, right? Because, wow.
Yes.
Sevilla had Bebeto. They also had Maradona, by the way.
Do we count
Maradona as a flop?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose a lot was expected of him.
Monchi tells a nice watch story about Maradona at Sevilla. But Maradona comes into training one day and Monchi's wearing this Rolex. And Maradona says, I like your watch. And Monchi says, it's fake. I can't afford a real Rolex, don't be silly. Because, you know, so I got a fake one. And Maradona's, all right. 2 days later,
Munchie turns up at training, sitting on the bench waiting for him. His Maradona hands over a watch. He said, "No friend of mine's wearing a fake."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How about that?
We need to make friends with Maradona.
Yeah, we do, don't we? Very fast.
Who is Roberto Rios and why is Athletic Club's biggest flop?
So Roberto Rios was absolutely brilliant at Betis. A big, tall, powerful, bald-headed centre-back who played for Betis in 96-97. The outstanding player. I think that season he got a Spain call-up. And obviously, as tended to happen with players who are Basque, Athletic were like, okay, fantastic. He went there with a lot of fanfare, a lot of sense of excitement, this idea that, right, this is the centre-back for... I'm not sure how old he was at that stage. I don't think he was very old. I think there was a sense that he was going to be, you know, their key centre-back for the best part of 6-7 years. And basically, it was awful. And no one could properly understand why.
And for Athletic, who don't have a great deal of choice when it comes to transfer targets, exactly, and therefore have to choose wisely,
and
they can't afford to...
And I paid a lot of money for him. I remember 15 million,
something
like that.
It was their record, wasn't it, at
the time? Yeah, it was their record signing at the time. Yeah.
Mm. Finally then, let's talk about a gentleman who came over from the UK to northern Spain
with a big name, big reputation,
big name,
big belly,
big reputation,
big problems as well, in
fairness. Didn't go well for Stan Collymore at Real Oviedo.
On Stan Collymore's debut, Real Oviedo played against Las Palmas. In the Las Palmas team was a guy called Nacho González.
Right.
Nacho González scored more goals than Stan Collymore that season. Nacho González is a goalkeeper.
How many goals did Stan Collymore score?
Zero. He only played about 40-odd minutes. When Stan Collymore was signed, Radi Antic, Oviedo were in desperate relegation trouble, and they did indeed go down at the start of the season, at the end of the season, and of course haven't been back since. Mm. When Stan Collymore was signed, Radi Antic came out and said, you know, we could be talking about one of the great signings in this club's history. When Stan Collymore walked away, and he really did walk away, more of which in a minute, Radi Antic came out and said, signing Collymore had nothing to do with me. Slightly getting himself out of trouble. Collymore, in theory, should have been a great signing for Oviedo. You know, a really talented player. Obviously, what we didn't really know at the time and what Oviedo didn't know was that this was possibly at Stan Collymore's worst period in terms of the depressions that he was going through. And if you notice, for example, Collymore, I don't know if this is still the case, but his Twitter biography used to list all the clubs he played for, except Oviedo. And I think he just, in his own mind, just wants to kind of get that period, you know, forget that period even happened. I think he played something like 53 minutes in total across three games, maybe. He was a player that one of his teammates said, you know, they were on the way home from training. I think they stopped outside this, like, you know, the classic kind of alimentación, sort of little corner shop style thing that you get in Spain. And Collymore got out, comes back, gets in the car, and he goes, "What's in the bags, Dan?" A bottle of Coke, five Twixes, and literally just boom, 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 boom. He was out of shape. He wasn't happy. And he left without anyone knowing. Now, genuinely, there's a phone call to the offices at Real Oviedo. And I don't know who answers the phone, the secretary or receptionist or whoever it is. Bear in mind, they're quite a small club. It could literally have been the president, I don't know. And they answer the phone and say, "Hello," and someone says, "Stan Collymore is at the airport." Astorias Airport at that time basically had two runways. You know, it was, "Please, passengers, proceed to gate number one," as if there were more than one gate. So, "Stan Collymore's at the airport." "Yeah, so what?" "Well, he's got five suitcases with him." No one knew. And he just left, just walked out. He left at the hotel. He got his Real Oviedo tracksuit and laid it out on the bed as if there was a ghost that had gone. So laid it out on the bed, wow, as if there was something lying on the bed. Tracksuit on the bed, and the staff were like, didn't say anything, just went. No one knew that he was going. He left absolutely no impact at all, except to be, if you like, a byword for, wow, that was a disaster.
And Oviedo sued him, didn't they, afterwards?
Well, what happened was that there was a court case between the two of them about money, because he'd walked out on his contract, about the outstanding money that he owed. Now, I'm not sure of the exact details of this, but this court case was kind of left. And I think, I might be wrong on this, and perhaps legally maybe I shouldn't even say it because I'm not 100% sure about the details, but basically what happened when Oviedo went through the trouble they had in 2012 and they were desperately trying to find money from anywhere, the president at the time came out and said, we're trying to look back and find if there's any way we can generate money, and that includes looking back at all the people who owe us money. And he actually explicitly said, and that includes Stan Collymore. Now, Stan denied this, but bear in mind, this is 2012 and he left in 2001, and there was this like, hang on a minute, there might still be some money there to be had. There was a court case. I think it did get messy, and then it did get resolved, I think, ultimately as well. Definitely, one thing I certainly can say legally, definitely not to Real Oviedo's satisfaction.
As you alluded to, it is worth perhaps reiterating that it did not go well at all, but he was not in a good situation.
No, I mean, genuinely I say this, that this is one of the things that we've, for all the problems that Colly Moore kind of gave Oviedo, for all the fact that he wasn't helpful to them on the pitch, I'm quite, I don't think indulgence is the right word, I can't think what the right word is, I'm quite understanding or quite tolerant of what happened, because I think he was genuinely in a very bad place at the time, the bad place not being Oviedo, mentally in a very bad place, and actually I think in a way it was a move that he presumably felt could help him, but very clearly didn't.
All right, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for listening to TSFP Presents A History of Transfers. Flops. There were more we could mention.
Yeah, send us your suggestions, you know.
Yes, and we'll be back soon with the more TSFP Presents. Adios.
Bye. Cheerio.